think about God's word, sack of Bible statues, and you don't have any in your hands. It makes me wonder. Many of us cherish it. And Jeremiah is in prison, and yet God's word comes to him. If you've been with us, you know you're going through a sermon series called The Marks of True Christians. The mark that was planned today is prayer. And then today is also International Day of Prayer for the Christian Church. And as I was reading through just my normal daily reading, which has become much more dear to me as I consider the fact that there are many who do not have the Word of God, I came across this passage, which caught my attention for 2 days. Where's Jeremiah? And what is the invitation of our God? Call to me. I will answer you. And so, the fact of the prison, Jeremiah being in prison, and the fact of the invitation of the prayer caught my attention today. So we moved from the verses that we can plan and move to this question. I just wanted to see a couple of things. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was in prison. And God says, pray to me. Call to me, and I will show you things you don't know. When we talk about prayer, it's prayer. Everybody knows what prayer is. What is it? He's talking to God. God invites Jeremiah. He's in prison. And if you read on through the book of Jeremiah, where he is in prison is a cistern full of mud that the walls, as the opening progresses downward, the walls expand out. There's no way he can climb out of this. And a couple chapters later, he is sunk. He sunk into the mud. When they dropped him down into it, he sank down into the mud. Nothing firm to stand on. He's alone. They're not feeding him. They're in the middle of a famine. He's the last thing on their mind. These people want him dead. And why? Why does Jeremiah, why does he find himself in prison? As some of us, I want you to feel the correlation. You might feel like you're in prison. You might feel like you're trapped in whatever situation you're in. The thing that you can't get out of. The way that you see no way around. I don't know where you are today. But Jeremiah is in prison for obeying God. He has been preaching a message. God, if you go back to the very first chapter, and God calls Jeremiah and he says, I have appointed you to be a voice to the nations. Go and say everything that I've given you. And don't be afraid of them. Don't be dismayed before them. For if you are, I will dismay you before them. But God gives him a command and he goes over 100 times in this book. Jeremiah pleads with the people and he says, will you return to God? Over 100 times the idea of returning or repenting is used in this book. He's calling back a rebellious nation. Repent. Turn back to God. They had turned away from him. They had turned away from the God who carried them through the desert. And they had turned to idols and stones that had to be carried if they wanted to move it. And that is their God. They were worshiping figures, statues that had lips and noses and eyes, but could not speak, could not smell, could not see. This is who they were worshiping. And Isaiah is sent, when you come back, why would you follow someone that they cannot profit you? And again and again and again, people refuse to listen. They turn away and worship other gods. And so he says, if you persist in this path, the city will be destroyed. If you keep rejecting God, his wrath will come and you will be destroyed. And this is why Jeremiah is in prison. He's in prison for speaking the truth and calling for a nation to repentance. As I was praying through this, I thought, today's a day of prayer. Perhaps we need to repent. Perhaps this week we have turned away from the Lord. In some sin, in something we knew we ought to do and we did not. In some way of not obeying the Lord. In some way, you turn your back on the Lord, perhaps. And this is a call to turn back to Him. Because the Word says, I have hidden my face from this city because of their evil. And I know none of us want God's face hidden from us because we're participating in evil. So, here's the offer. Will confess and repent and return, I will cleanse them from all of their guilt and all of their sin against me. I will forgive the guilt of their sin and their rebellion. That's the invitation of God. And so I think about the prayer right now. It serves to not open it. But I'm going to ask you if there is anything that you need to repent of, you can't move forward. And so I'm just going to ask you to pray for a few minutes. Any way that you have turned your back on the Lord, which literally says this, God says about Israel, they have turned their back to me and not their face. I just know this is a nation that is ignoring the God who redeemed them. And I don't want us to be a people who are that way. So if we have there's anything in your life you need to repent of and turn away from, ask to do it right now. And let's just pray for just a couple minutes. The Lord says, the Lord will turn to you. He will cleanse us of all our guilt, and all our sin, and you will forgive. Please forgive us according to your great mercy, according to your great grace. Wash us, cleanse us, give us deep, life-changing love. Jesus, would you turn the stones that we even contemplate this evening? Ask you to change us. Thank you for the promise that you've given us. What if he doesn't answer? Listen to the words. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. And he says, this came while he was shut up in the court of the guard. This is the word. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established. I went back and I looked at the first time that word came to Jeremiah, and all it said was, thus says the Lord. And the word came. That's the pattern. Over 400 times in Scripture. Thus says the Lord. And here, something to add. Why is it? Thus says the Lord. What? Made the earth. The Lord who formed it and established. Why does God say that?
why does he add to that phrase, which signifies the very power of God? What does Jeremiah need to be reminded of?
The very God who created the entire earth, all of the heavens, who spoke one word and life began. This is the God whose word comes to him and reminds Jeremiah of what? His power? And if you're Jeremiah, and I tried to be, and I'm thinking, you're telling me you're the God who's created the world. I'm in a pit. Then make the word that gets me out of here. Just say it and get me out of this stinking mud hole. And yet, he doesn't immediately remove him. And yet, God still wants Jeremiah to be reminded of his power in that pit, in that sin. I'm the God who created the earth. And God reminds us in the middle of all of our struggles, he is the God who has power. And what's the invitation? This powerful God who can say a word and fix our problems. What does he do? Jeremiah remains in that prison, in that cell, in that prison, in that system. He remains there, and yet who comes to him? God's word comes to Jeremiah where he is. God enters our lives, enters our pain, enters our grief, and he is with us. He doesn't always immediately remove us, even though he could. He could speak a word. But we have that kind of faith to be okay in prison with the word of God. Okay in prison with Jesus. Question, would we rather be out of jail without Jesus, or in jail and have Jesus at your side? Where would you rather be? In a mud pit holding Jesus' hand, or is free to enjoy all the world and there be no God? I hope the answer is, I choose the mud pit and Jesus is holding my hand. Because that's what this word says. And what does it say? God gives a promise. Call to me. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. So God gives a promise. Call to me. How often? If prayer is the mark of a true Christian, like King David once. King David was a man who loved prayer. Here's what he says. I call to God, the Lord, evening, morning, and at noon. In other words, I'm praying all day long. That is the mark of a Christian, isn't it? Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. With prayer and thanksgiving. I wonder how Jeremiah would have heard that verse. I'm to pray to you with thanksgiving. In prison. Ephesians 4:8. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. When are we to pray? When we wake up, or just before dinner? Before you go to sleep? Pray always, at all times, in the spirit of prayer, always is the command. And Jesus told a parable of a widow who came to a judge, and he states the purpose of the parable. He told them in parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. How many times do you think that Jeremiah prayed, God, can you get me out of this place? Can you feed me? Does the answer that you hope to get and you don't, does that cause you to stop praying? Our prayers do sometimes, we don't get the answer we want. And yet, do we refuse to go to the God who gives us an invitation, saying, come, call upon me. He keeps going. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. In the trouble, call upon me.
1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Pray always in the pit, in a cistern full of mud. In other words, be so in love with prayer that you talk to Jesus. That's all. Prayer is communion with God, and that can happen anywhere, in prison or out. And the last thing is to look at God. He invites us to pray, and he says, I will answer you and show you things you didn't even ask for. When I came to this, I often asked the Lord, okay, what's the meaning of the text? What does the passage say? What is the meaning? And then, does that say anything to me? And this passage to me gave me strong encouragement. It was an invitation from God to pray. That's what I saw. And then when I see this, I will show you great and mighty things which you don't even know about. I ask the question, what does that tell us about the character of God? Because if God's word reveals himself to his people, we need to ask, what does this teach me about the God I'm serving? And I ask you, what does this teach you about the God I'm serving? His character is to be more generous than we can even imagine. And I'll give you one example, King Solomon. You remember what happened to King Solomon? He came to the Lord and God said, ask me anything. What an amazing question. What would you ask? Ask him anything, and Solomon says, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to govern the people. And God says, it's amazing. Okay, you got it. I give you wisdom. It's a good request. And I'll give you what you didn't ask for too. Honor, riches, and wealth. I'll take care of you as a king. You will be more wise than anybody before you and anybody after you. What do I ask for? That is the God we serve. He is a God who will answer and give us more than we even ask. But the question is, will we continue to go to him? Will we continue to call upon the name of the Lord without fail and without ceasing? He is a God who is generous and who gives. And I'm not talking about stuff. James warns us about that. You have not because you what? You ask with wrong motives so that you can spend it on your lusts. That's not the kind of asking we're talking about. But coming to the Lord for what? Open your mouth wide that he will fill your soul. Coming to God for the fullness of joy that we contentment that only he can give us is what he offers. And so, will you call upon the Lord? It's an invitation to a life of prayer. And so my prayer is that you would begin to see, look for verses like this as your up the Bibles and you read on the way out, and perhaps you'll treasure those books a little bit more. Read and say, God, what does this show me about your character? Who are you to invite us to pray to you, to come and call upon your name? That's the invitation of Jesus. Will you accept it? Will you come to him? Because James also says, ask for wisdom, and I'll give you what? Generously, what? Without rebuke? Come to me. I'll give you generously without smacking you on the head. Because you're asking. Our view of God ought to be much larger. So here's a God who comes to a man in prison. He doesn't immediately deliver him from prison. And yet he offers, extends an invitation and says, come, call upon me. I will show you great and wonderful things that you have no idea. You seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he'll give you an answer you didn't dream of. And you'll be good. Because there is a promise that I will give you. And to him who is able to do for far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, him we give glory in all the churches and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. today is a day of prayer. So to move us beyond praying for ourselves, I have some people who have endured persecution. I pray that the Lord will encourage you to begin to see this invitation as a personal invitation. But to move beyond that, I just read you a passage that says, pray with all perseverance for the saints. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering way more than we are for the gospel that we claim and the name that we pray in. I'm going to ask you to break up into about, I have 12 cards here that give faces to the persecution from around the world. This is a lady from Colombia whose husband was a pastor. He went out to buy a microphone for the church. He never came back. They later found his body in 30 pieces. So she's a single mom now. She needs to be grateful. So I'm going to ask you to break up into groups of about 8 or 10. Number 12, we're going to pass out 12 of these. This will be with quietly and reverently to spread throughout the congregation. Spend about 5 minutes praying for them. Maybe one person out of the 10 or 12 will feel comfortable enough to lead in prayer. If you don't want to pray out loud, that's fine. But I just ask you, would you just pray for these folks? So I'm just going to pass it around and set them up. Thank you.